effective prayer life if we don't make the time. If we don't make the time to really get connected to God. Do you know that our prayer life is the only way that we really can audibly, on our part, be connected to God? Now, we can read God's word all day long, but prayer makes it really intimate. Did you know that? When you bow down and you open your heart, whatever's in it, and you go into your prayer closet and you're honest with God, it's an intimate time, isn't it? He wants that intimacy. He wants to know you personally. And he wants you to know and have confidence in him personally. So I believe we need to be praying fervently, praying without ceasing. But here's the biggie, and this is the one that will be probably most aggressive and maybe perceived as being negative. But he goes on, he says, the effectual, an effective prayer is one that's what? Fervent, but one that's offered by a righteous man. If there is a problem within the church, it is a lack of righteousness. We believe in faith, and we believe in confession, and we believe in repentance, and we believe in baptism by immersion for the remission of sins to receive to get to the Holy Spirit. But what about faithful living? We are so quick to get a person to the baptistry that we fail to teach them what it is to be responsible after the fact. And I think that if we're not careful, preachers included, we're going to be held accountable for those souls that we have reached out to and we've taught them the plan of salvation. We were anxious to get them to a baptistry, but we never taught them to be faithful. I think we're going to be held accountable for that. I believe we've got to understand that separately, not one of those things can get you to heaven by themselves. But together, they can all help us to be in a saved relationship with Jesus. They enable us to enter into the presence of God by the blood of Christ. All five of them. Not four of them. Not three of them. All five of them. We are called to be faithful. The Apostle Paul wrote much about being faithful. When he wrote to the Corinthian Christians in his first letter, chapter 3, he says, you want me to speak to you in spiritual terms, but I cannot. Because as I look at the congregation as a whole, what I see is worldliness. There's sin being practiced that no one is talking about. There are a lot of sins that we have swept under the rug. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Sobriety has become a problem in the younger generation in the church. It is. We have young people who are now becoming Christians, couples, that believe it's all right to participate in social drinking. I'm going to tell you what, you'll never take a second drink if you don't take the first one. Never. Never. But we've told ourselves, well, it's all right. One drink is not going to hurt. What about our witness? You know, when I was a kid growing up, I always heard the excuses that people would give as we were being taught how to call. The excuses that people give, one of them was, well, there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites to go down there. Well, I've always been taught that's just an excuse for somebody who doesn't want to do it. But you know, the real reality is what they're saying is true. That's sobering, but it's right. People come to church, they got their Bible tucked up, their suit is on, and they look the look. And while they're at church, they might even talk the talk, but they have no game when they leave. None. They go out into the world, and they are just as if they are of the world. Now, Paul said, you want me to speak to you spiritually, but you are so worldly, you couldn't even begin to grasp deep spiritual truths because you're mired in the muck of sin. Righteousness is a problem. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in the 21st chapter 5 of Matthew, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. How were the Pharisees like modern day Christians? They were talking the talk, they had their Bible tucked under, but there was no practice of it. No practice of it. Do you remember last year and the year before, Chad Johnson, who's had an identity crisis and had to change his name to a name that I really wouldn't even attempt to pronounce publicly. But anyhow, do you remember all the mouthing he was doing before every game? I'm going to do this. And he wouldn't do half of what he said he was going to do. Now, the media made a field. They had a field day with him. They laughed at him. You know, it was just one thing. It irritated his fellow players. And one thing if he was going to be able to back it up, but he couldn't. We have Christians who are made fun of every day by people at work because they're not living what they say they are. And as a result, they're having a negative impact and their prayers are not effective. When you are separate from God, you can't attempt to get his attention until you've repented. Righteousness is a problem. Holiness in the church, developing a people who want to hear the word, who want to live according to what God has said. Paul talked constantly about leaving behind the works of the flesh. I don't have time to read Romans chapter 6, but in Romans chapter 6, don't we get the picture that when the man is buried into Christ, the old man is buried and a new man is resurrected, and that new man has left behind the sin? Too many times we baptize people who never repented in the first place. They did it because we were putting pressure on them, or we were there and they wanted to get rid of us, and so they just did it. There was no real repentance. Sometimes we need to slow down and we need to let God have a chance to catch up to us. Let him work within that person. I've been on a farm. I've owned a farm. I know when you sow grass seed, just because I sowed it today, I can't expect it to come up tomorrow. It takes a little time. A little watering, a little this, a little that. Let God work sometimes. Teach people holiness. Teach people righteousness. We need that back in our churches. We're going to strengthen our image, and we're going to grow, and we're going to be all that we want to be if we'll be what we're supposed to be. We'll do it. We'll accomplish it. Righteousness is paramount to our relationship with God. We can't have a relationship with God if we're not attempting righteousness. And that's more than just doing the right thing. It's a way of life. It's a consistent way of life. It's what we do every day. It's who we are. It's who we are. If you want to be a game changer, if you want to be a playmaker, you're going to have to be a righteous man. A righteous man. Someone that when people are in trouble, they can come to you. When their marriage is on the rocks, they know they can come to you, and you are the real thing, and they can find comfort, and they can find solace, and they can find understanding, they can find help, and they know that if you say you're going to pray about it, that you're going to have some impact with God. Don't you want that kind of recognition from people, that they can count on you because you're real, that they respect you? How many of your work people respect you wherever you go to hang out? Because of your belief. They may not believe the way you believe, but they respect you because you have stood up and you don't cuss and you don't tell vile, filthy jokes and you don't do all the things that they're doing, and so they have respect for you, and you're in their presence, they don't behave that way. Isn't that the kind of influence you should want? Here's what happened about prayer. James says, look, effectively fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We can accomplish a lot through prayer. He used the illustration of Elijah. Elijah prayed about rain. Now let me tell you, just because you've prayed about something doesn't guarantee God is going to do it your way. But he will do something. He will do something. But Elijah prayed. He said Elijah was just an everyday man. He wasn't the son of God. Now Elijah was a man of prominence in Jewish history, wasn't he? They looked up to him. He says, look, Elijah was a man just like you and just like me, and he had an ongoing relationship with God, and God answered his prayers. What about a king by the name of Hezekiah? You remember Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20? He was sick unto death, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. God answered that prayer and gave him 15 more years, didn't he? When we're who we're supposed to be, we have a better opportunity to bend God's ear in our direction and to get the result that we're praying for. God is looking for men who want to be game changers and playmakers, who want to have an impact in the local church and the community in which they serve. Every day people are going to die into hell. Do you care? Do you care? Thank you.